The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Praise God, and we're in the process of a whole new revolution here at Bethel Worship Center. Things are changing. There's an outreach and a desire. The atmosphere surely is changing in this place. The atmosphere is changing. It better, because the atmosphere is changing out there too. And if we're going to be the salt and light that God has called us to, we've got to get hold of this vision and this desire to see some changes take place in this place, in our lives, in our efforts, in our the way that we choose to reach out to people, in our desire. Pray every day. Pray that God will give you souls. Pray that God will bring you into the path of people that need what you have to offer them, whether it's just a prayer, a word of encouragement, a smile. Pray that God's going to use you. These young ladies this morning that we honored as graduates are about to embark on their life's journey. And I pray and I believe that God is going to direct them. Choose God's will for your life, whatever it is. Don't listen to anybody else. Listen to God. People have good intentions, but they'll give you direction that is based on man's wisdom, not God's. Hear what God has to say. And I encourage the whole congregation this morning, let's hear from God. Amen. Amen. Let's walk so close to our Lord that we can't miss the direction that He has for us. We're going to be loving our neighbor. One of the things that this scripture in Matthew chapter 22, there was a teacher of the law, a Pharisee who came to Jesus, and he said to Jesus, he asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus told him in Matthew 22, verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And then he goes on to say, and the second is like it, the second is just as important. That's what he's saying to us. This one is just as important as loving God. Because in reality, if we don't do this, we're not really loving God. So he said, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the thing I want to talk about this morning is self. Because if we key in on this scripture, the necessary component to loving our neighbor is recognizing and loving ourselves. Now, that seems to fly in the face of being humble, but it's not. A lot of people have false humility. And false humility will make you appear that you're being humble when in reality, it's all about you. Fear will cause you to focus on self rather than on the things of God. Anxiety will cause you to focus on self rather than the things of God. You see, all these things, they're all about self. But if we really have an understanding of what Jesus is saying to us here about who we are and who God. That song we sang this morning, it's awesome. You know, he's a mighty God. He's an awesome God. Yes, he is. It's who He is. Yeah. And He loves us. Yes. It's who we are. Thank you, Lord. That's where we need to get our understanding of self. I believe the road to loving our neighbor is found in self. So we're going to talk about three things this morning. We're going to talk about self-discovery. We're going to talk about self-expression. We're going to talk about self-protection. All three of these things are important to us, releasing and walking in love toward our neighbor. So what is self? A dictionary definition of self is a person's essential being that distinguishes them from others, especially considered as the object of introspection or reflection, reflective action. It goes on to say soul and spirit. Okay. It's really important as we go through this that we understand this soul and spirit thing, and we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. Merriam-Webster says that the evaluation by oneself of one's worth as an individual in distinction from one's interpersonal social roles. that can get kind of confusing, huh? What the definition is saying that our self is separate from our role, from the things we do, from our career. And I want to encourage these young ladies this morning, as God leads and directs you, you're choosing careers. Choose God's career for you, but never allow that career to define who you are. That's not what it's all about. If I'm not careful, I'll let being pastor of Bethel Worship Center or Bethel, and I got to get used to just saying Bethel because we're dropping that worship center thing. Not that there's anything wrong with it, just that there's some changes coming. So as pastor of Bethel, if I'm not careful, I will allow myself to be defined by this place and ministry. And that's not who I am. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about this, but that's the expression of who I am, but it's not who I am.
That's right.
So let's just kind of delve into this just a little bit so that we have an understanding of self and how important it is to understand self. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says this, "And God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being." The word here for dust means dry or loose earth. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to begin to build your self-esteem. According to this scripture, you are dirt. How's that make you feel? But very special dirt.
That's right.
Dirt that God chose to put a mind, a soul, a mind, will, emotions, a soul, and a spirit in.
Amen.
Brought it to life. You are unique in all your ways. You are a very special person. Chosen by Almighty, the living God, to walk before Him, to love Him, to please Him, and to love your neighbor. So as we look at this, I want you to think about, we need to deal with some things in our lives. We need to always deal with pride, not allow pride to be the center of who we are, become prideful about what we do and what we're able to accomplish. There's always room for humility in our life. Now, sometimes if we're not careful, we will misinterpret confidence in God as pride. And we don't want to do that. But we will also sometimes misinterpret it, pride in self as confidence in God. Does that make any sense to you?
Yes, sir.
So we must be discerning people. We must be like the sons of Issachar. We need to be able to discern the signs of the times and the signs of people. And recognize that when people are walking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you may hear and see some things that would make you think that they're being prideful. In reality, they're trusting in God. I can tell you this, that in order to walk up here and minister and do some of the things that God has called me to do, sometimes it may appear that I have confidence in what I'm doing, but I don't. I have confidence in what God is doing. And only what God is doing. Famous preacher visited a nursing home. He was a televangelist. In his area, everybody knew him, and he decided he was going to go to the nursing home, and he took all the cameras and everything, and he wanted everybody to know that he was doing the Lord's work. And he went in and started ministering to people, and he came across a lady sitting on the bench in the nursing home, and he talked to her for a while. And after he talked to her for a little while, he just got kind of proud and arrogant about who he was, as he was thinking about himself. And what he didn't know is this lady had Alzheimer's. So as he was ministering to her, he finally said, "Now, do you watch local Christian radio?" And she said, "Oh, yes, I do." And he said, "Do you know who I am?" She looked him up and down and all over. And she said, "No, but if you go to the front desk, they'll tell you who you are." God has a way of humbling us, doesn't he? Who are we? Who are you? Who am I? Well, let's look at this scripture in Genesis just a little bit, because we need to look at some of these words that are used here. We recognize that, hold on just a moment. Thank you, Otis. We recognize that the Word of God says that God breathed life in the nostrils of man, and he became a living, in the King James it says soul, in my New King James it says living being. God's breath, and if you do a study on these words, you'll find out that God spirited into man the spirit of life. So here's what I want you to understand as a human being. We are not what it appears we are. It looks like we are this person here. You see me, and you know me as Pastor Rob Barber. But the reality of who I am is really in here. Because what God did was he formed a body out of dust, out of the ground. He gave it a soul mechanism. But that soul did not come to life until he breathed the spirit of life into it. So what we recognize in this, that we can determine based on this scripture and based on the understanding as we do studies in the Word of God, that you are a spirit being. I'm a spirit being. That's who we are. But we have a soul, and that soul is what, when the Spirit was breathed in to Adam, the soul came to life. And the Spirit gave the soul life, and the soul gave the Spirit consciousness. So the two became intertwined with one another. And I've studied this for years, and I want you to know, if you do a study on heart, soul, spirit, mind, if you try to study those things out and try to separate them, you will get very confused. Because they all intermingle with one another to make you who you are. But remember, the reality is you're a spirit being. This body is going to perish. Now, one day it's going to be resurrected. It's going to be a new spirit body. and you're going to be known just as you are known today, just like Jesus was known when he came back and walked on the face of the earth. But it's not going to have the limitations that we have now. But in the meantime, when people leave this earth, the Word of God tells us that the Spirit goes to be with the one who sent it. So the Spirit and the soul continue to live on and on and on. The only way you will ever die is if God separates you. Nothing can separate you from God and eternal life in Jesus Christ. So as a human being, you are more than what it appears. You are more than what this world would say you are. You are more than the enemy will tell you you are. You are everything God says about you. You are special. You are the apple of his eye. You are loved by an awesome and powerful creator. You are a God. You are loved by your God, the Father, Abba. That's where you need to discover yourself. Discover yourself in Jesus Christ. If you don't discover yourself in Christ and what the Word of God says about you, you will discover yourself, or you will try to discover yourself in all kinds of things. You'll try to discover yourself in ministry. And it's okay to discover the ministry God has for you, but don't try to discover yourself in ministry. You'll try to discover yourself in a job, in a career. You'll try to discover yourself, and you young people, make sure you hear this. You'll try to discover yourself in a mate. Now, there is some truth to that. God uses the right person to help you discover who you are. But you will never completely and totally discover yourself in somebody else. Do not allow the enemy to lie to you and tell you that you can discover yourself aside from your relationship with Almighty God through Jesus Christ. That's where it is. Find it. He'll help you. Pray. Seek His face. He'll help you discover who you are. His Word is full of who you are in Him. The second thing I want to talk to you this morning about is self-expression. Self-expression is the expression or assertion of one's own personality, as in conversation, behavior, poetry, or painting, or the arts, or whatever it is. It's an expression. It's an outward expression of who you are. So that's why it's so important when we talk to these young ladies about choosing a career. It's so important that they choose a career that is an expression of who they are. The Word of God says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's not old, he'll not depart from it. It's teaching us to allow our children to move in the bent. Do it from a scriptural basis, but make sure you don't try to conform your children to what you want for their life, and they miss what God wants. Expression in the church is you express who you are through the gifts that God has placed inside of you, through ministry, through outreach, through touching other people's lives. We're not all the same. It's okay. You're fine with who you are. Accept that. Some people are called to be evangelists, and those people have a personality that lends to being an evangelist. Not everybody in the body of Christ is called to be an evangelist. And if you try to go out and evangelize without that calling in your life, the way that we think evangelism should go, you're going to fall on your face and feel like a miserable failure. Because that's not the way God created you to express your gifts and your calling. Let Him use you as you are. There's all kinds of gifting in the body of Christ. For some people, those giftings are meant to take them up higher. For some people, I'm going to say something here that may disturb you a little bit, but for some people in the body of Christ, their gifting has to take them down before it can take them up. If we have too much confidence in ourselves, they have to come down a little bit so that God can build us up. But I want you, I've observed this, I've studied this throughout my life, particularly as a believer in Jesus Christ, and I've seen different personalities, and I've watched God do this over and over again. Those with a poor self-esteem, He builds up and encourages them and puts them in incredible ministry and uses them in incredible ways. Those who have too much pride in their life, He still uses them. But He has to bring them down first and then back up for His kingdom. It is tough being humbled by God. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. But it's a good thing. Let it happen to all of us. Let us walk according to the expression that God has placed inside of us. Let's express ourselves. I believe that that's so very important when it comes to ministering to our neighbors, because God wants you to minister to your neighbor as an expression of who you are through the gifting that He has put inside of you. Now, I'm not letting anybody off the hook when it comes to inviting people to our events here at Bethel Worship Center. Everybody should come out and be a part of this. Anybody can knock on the door, throw a flyer at somebody, and run away. Amen? Now, I'm not encouraging you to do that, but if that's what it takes, let's get out there. Let's invite people. Let's get people involved here at Bethel. Let's show people we love them, we care for them. So, when I'm talking about evangelism, I'm talking about something totally different than the direction that we're going with this. I was talking about actually leading people to the Lord on a regular basis. Some people have that knack to do that. And there are certain things that we can all learn about leading people to the Lord. We can learn to start kingdom conversations. We can learn to minister to people. We can learn to be bold. Listen, pray for boldness. Pray for boldness. God's not going to change your personality, but change. Pray for boldness. I pray that God will give me the boldness wherever I go, that I will stand on His word no matter what's happening around me. That I will be like Daniel, his three friends. That I will be like those people who, in the face of adversity, in the face of death, they would say, "It makes no difference what happens to me. I will not bow my knee to your God." That's the kind of boldness we've got to have. And I got to tell you, it's something we have to seek the face of God for. I've never met a person who ever joined a church who wanted to be marginalized by the people, to be intentionally held back or from making contribution. I believe people decide they want to go to a church because they want to make a contribution. And that's one of the things that I believe when we realize that there's a place for self-expression here at Bethel Worship Center. How many like the flags? Yeah. Praise God. Some of you are lying. That's okay. I know, that's peer pressure. Got to raise your hand. But the flags are an expression of our worship. Amen? Dance is an expression of our worship. The gifts of the Spirit are an expression of our worship. Expression of who we are and what God has made inside of us and created in us. All these things, I want these things to be released here at Bethel Worship Center so that people will know that when you walk in these doors, you can express yourself within reason in serving God. Now, we do have boundaries, no doubt about that. But we have to be able to express ourselves. Hallelujah. You know, I was watching a video of a church in California, Bethel, in Redding, California. When worship is going on, people don't sit in their seats. They run up to the front. They want to get as close to the anointing of God as possible. They raise their hands. They dance around. Not everybody has to do that. I'm just telling you, that's what I've observed. That's freedom in that place to do what they believe is true worship of God. Freedom. Expression. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Listen to what James 1:26 and 27 says. "If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one, religion, is useless." Woo! Watch your tongue. What are you saying? What are you saying about your brothers and sisters in Christ? What are you saying about others? Are you talking behind people's back? If you are, Scripture, the Word says, your religion is useless, or your outward manifestation of what you think seeking God is worthless. That's what he's telling you. But then it goes on to say this, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. Now he's talking about the outward expression of ministry. He's not talking about your heart. He's not talking about your salvation here. This has nothing to do with salvation. This was the outward expression of your faith in Jesus Christ. What are you doing with it? He says this, pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. In other words, it's doing for others is an outward expression of our religion, it's a manifestation of what God wants to see. It's not, you know, as much as this is awesome, I love it when we come in here, we raise our hands and we dance and we have the flags, it's not that. It's not taking communion. None of those things are true and undefiled religion. All those things are part of our religion, part of our expression. But according to this scripture, if we want to be pure and right in the sight of our God, now please don't get this mixed up with salvation. I'm not talking about that. But if we want to be pure and undefiled before our God, we will reach out and touch other people's lives. Amen? I believe what we need is to get a vision for what God is calling us to. And we're doing our best to cast that vision. Casting that vision to reach other people, to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're casting that vision that God has called Bethel Worship Center to make a difference here in our area, in our Jerusalem, in our Samaria, in the uttermost parts of the world. And we've done a great job. I want you to understand, there's some things that we have done and we've done right. Praise God for the food pantry ministry. Thank God for the thrift store. Thank God for the Upward program and that so many outreach ministries. I can't name all of the outreach ministries. The worldwide ministry that we have where we send funds out to people, to ministries that are ministering that are touching the lives of people in other countries. The domestic ministries that we support, where we're touching people, the crisis pregnancy, good works, and all these ministries, right? The ministries that are touching the drug addicts. All these things you're a part of. And every week you're making a difference in people's lives. So I don't want to diminish anything that we've been doing so far. We've been doing a great job, but we can do better. Amen. And we're going to. We're going to do a better job of ministering to our neighbors. We're going to love our neighbors as ourselves. And it's exciting to me. It's exciting to be a part of it. It's exciting to have a congregation of people that I know you're sitting out there and you're agreeing with me. You know how important this is. You know that we're going to touch, and we need to touch. We need to reach out. We need to see these things happen. But most important to me is that I believe that when we move outside of these four walls, that there's going to be some incredible miracles take place in people's lives. Things are going to happen. I better see what time it is. I'm carried away here. Hallelujah. We need to get a vision for what God's called us to. In the late 1700s, a lady by the name of Amy Carmichael, 1800s, I'm sorry, the lady by the name of Amy Carmichael was seeking God. She wanted to be used by Almighty God. And as she was seeking God's will, she had a dream one night. And she was sitting in a jungle in India. And she was sitting in front of a fire. And in the distance, there was a clearing. And she saw in this dream vision, / vision, she saw people, a lady with a little girl. And they were walking toward this cliff, this precipice. And it was like they couldn't see, she said. They were blind. And they just kept walking. And they got closer and closer and closer. And they fell off. She saw a little boy, and then she saw men and women of all ages and just walking toward that precipice. And she cried out to God, God, somebody's got to do something. And the Lord appeared to her, and the Lord said, no one, I have no one. No one will stop this. No one will be my messenger. And she said to the Lord, send me, Lord. I'll go. And not long after that, she went to India, and she spent 55 years in India ministering to people. She took zero furloughs for 55 years because she was so passionate about the call God had in her life. That's what I want. That's what I want for me. That's what I want for you. I want us to get passionate about this call that God has on us. And the last thing I want to share with you is self-protection. Now, this is something that we have to give up. We have to give up trying to protect ourselves. We have to give up being concerned about our appearance, our pride. We have to give up being concerned about our dignity, our popularity, our fame. We've got to stop trying to protect ourselves and let God be our rear guard. Let God surround us. Let God protect us and keep us. Romans 14:8, for if we live to the Lord, and if we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. That's the position that we have to take when it comes to self-protection. I release it, Lord. I can't protect myself. I can't protect my family. Now, if somebody would break into my home and try to do harm to my family, I'd do everything I could to stop that. I would not be beyond taking somebody's life that was trying to harm my family. Now, you may not think that's right, but I have a responsibility to keep and protect my family. Now, beyond that, when it comes to serving God, we've got to put our family and ourself in the hands of Almighty God. We can't go around being concerned about protecting our dignity, protecting our pride, protecting our popularity, our fame, protecting ourselves. Because if we get in that mode, we will be useless to Almighty God. We will allow our appearance or our pride or our dignity to stop us from being what God wants us to be. We must trust God with everything that is inside of us. One of the things that God has taught me, and it's faith, but it's more than faith. You know, if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, He's told us, we can say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. It'll be done. But it's more than just faith in God. It's total and complete trust in Him. Even when we don't seem to have the faith to walk the way He wants us to walk. Throughout my life as a believer in Jesus Christ, God has always taken me in directions that have been unique and incredible. They've been great adventures. They've been difficult. It's always difficult to go in that direction. When God tells you to do something, it's not easy, but He'll make the way. All He's asking of you, trust Him. Trust Him. More recently, God has spoken to me about something that I have to just absolutely trust Him for. I don't understand it. I don't see the benefit of it. Can't comprehend it. But I know He's spoken to me. And I'm going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to do His will. Man, this is happening way too often. Well, this is one of those times that you just cast your dignity and your pride aside. You just have to know that God's in control. Can't protect my dignity when I stand up here in front of you and cry. Nothing I can do about it. But I trust God. I know that He gives me these emotions, and there's a reason for it. I'm going to walk in that obedience. Galatians 5:61 says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That doesn't mean that you're not going to make mistakes. You're going to fall down. It just means that if you are trying your best to please the living God, and you are trusting Him, no matter what the circumstance looks like, God's going to make it work. All things are going to work for your good. That's His promise. Can we trust Him? That's the question. I have something I want to share with you this morning. I need a volunteer. Will somebody come up and volunteer? Billy, I appreciate that, but you do volunteers and stuff for me all the time. I want to get somebody out of the audience. I'm sorry, I should have mentioned that to you. Because I knew you would volunteer. You know, Billy's right on it. Yes, amen. Thank you, Billy. I do appreciate that. Corey, come on up here. Now, I've got a question for you. Do you trust me? Say that loud so everybody can hear you. Okay, we don't want to make any mistakes here. All right. Well, if you trust me, then you're going to need to do everything that I tell you to do, okay? So we're going to test this and see if you trust me. All right. I need you to do this. Okay. Do this. Hey, you're good. All right. Do this. Great. All right. You passed the test. Put your arms out. Hold your hands like this. Okay. Here we go. Let's see. Take this. And this. All right. Do you trust me? You're sure you trust me? Okay, we're going to make this a little bit interesting this morning because I'm going to pour some water just to make it a little more interesting in this in these cups. Okay. Now, I'm going to take this one. You can put this arm down. Hold this one out straight. Okay. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to put the cup on your head, okay? Close your eyes. Now, don't do it yet. Close your eyes and turn around like that, okay? Turn around and stop. Keep your eyes closed. All right, good. You're done. Now, put your arm back out. I'm going to ask you again, do you trust me? Okay, good. He trusts me. I would not intentionally make a fool of you. You know that. Okay. Neither would God. He would never make a fool of you. He may make you uncomfortable, but he never makes a fool of his people. All right, now what we're going to do together, because you trust me, we are going to pour this water on our head. All right. Is it okay? You don't care whether you get wet? Okay. That's not good. I want you to care. Okay. All right. On the count of three. One, two, three. Pour. Thank you. Appreciate it. Simple trust. I didn't want to get him wet. I didn't intend to get him wet. And I'm glad it worked that I didn't get him wet. But that's the simple kind of trust that we have to have with Almighty God. Completely trust him because he's doing a work in your life. He's creating something unique and incredible through your life, with your life. And he's giving you opportunity to impact and make a difference in other people's lives. Our God is an awesome and mighty God. Praise God. This morning we're going to go out. We're going to have some food and fellowship and some fun. And I just pray that people of this community will show up. And when they do, make sure you talk to them. Make sure you let them know that we care about them. Make sure they go away from this place and say, man, that's the friendliest bunch of people I have ever met. That's important. Let's pray. Please stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.